This is The Takeaway. I'm Ray Suarez, in for the first part of this week. Good to have you with us. Over the weekend, tens of thousands of people marched across the country to protest racism, white supremacy, and Nazism, just 1 week after a white nationalist protest turned violent in Charlottesville, Virginia. 40,000 people gathered in Boston alone to counter a self-described free speech rally that appeared to attract just a few people. President Donald Trump praised the protesters in Boston for, quote, speaking out against bigotry and hate, a far different tone from last week when the president repeatedly insisted there was blame on both sides of the violent protests. Trump's chief strategist, Steve Bannon, reportedly pushed the president to double down on his divisive rhetoric after the protests, but the week did not end well for Bannon. On Friday, the White House confirmed he was stepping down. Just hours after that dismissal was announced, Bannon had returned to his position as executive chairman of Breitbart News, the conservative outlet that Bannon himself has called a platform for the alt-right. Eliana Johnson is a national political reporter for Politico, and she joins me now. Eliana, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, Ray. Great to be with you.
Well, now that we're looking back over our shoulders at the Steve Bannon era, just how much influence did he have over candidate Trump and eventually President Trump?
I think there's a misconception that the president's head is a battlefield over which Steve Bannon on the one hand and more moderate advisors like Jared Kushner wage war, and on each issue, one or the other side wins. I think it's important to realize that the president does have real thoughts and instincts, and these advisors may push him one way or the other, but in the end, it's the president who makes the ultimate decision, and he does have concrete views and instincts on an array of issues. That being said, Steve Bannon was somebody who brought into the White House a deep understanding of the president's nationalist, populist base and pushed the president to follow his own instincts, whereas many of his other advisors, I think, check those instincts and push him in a different direction.
Can Bannon himself look back at his time on the campaign and in the White House as a success? Did he accomplish what he set out to do?
I'm not sure about that. I think Bannon felt stymied in many ways by the array of, he called them, Democratic, liberal, globalist advisors, like Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, and Gary Cohn, the head of the National Economic Council, who had come from Goldman Sachs. But surely he'll point to things like the withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord and other things and say that they were concrete victories. At the same time, I think the failure on health care and the president's inability yet to do anything on tax reform are real failures. And what he has said publicly is that he feels he can be more effective from the outside back at Breitbart in pushing for victories on those matters.
We should talk some more about what it means for him to be back at Breitbart. The ink was hardly dry on the first drafts of the Bannon out story when he was already back in charge there, declaring his intention to be a player from the outside. Is that significant?
You know, I also think it's something of an overplayed story in that Bannon, when he was in the White House, was really playing an inside-outside game. I don't think he ever completely severed his ties with Breitbart, and many people saw in the stories the attack stories that Breitbart ran on, for example, Jared Kushner and Gary Cohn, and in particular attacks on H.R. McMaster, they saw Steve Bannon's hand in those stories. And I'm really of the group that doesn't think there will be all that much difference now that Steve Bannon's on the outside, though I will tell you that the major debate among White House advisors about whether or not to dismiss Steve Bannon was just how much damage can this guy do on the outside. That said, I was of the mindset that I don't think it will make all that much of a difference since I think he was playing an outside game from the inside.
Does this signal the new chief of staff having the upper hand and maybe more effectively controlling who has the president's ear?
You know, this goes back to the initial point I made about the president having a mind of his own and being the ultimate decision maker. There is a sense in which this is a victory for John Kelly, who absolutely wanted Steve Bannon out. He was somebody who reported directly to the president and in that way blurred the lines of authority in the White House. But the president himself soured on Steve Bannon and signed off on his dismissal, and Bannon wouldn't have gone had the president not signed off on this. Bannon's, he developed a big profile and, of course, a reputation for being the puppet master pulling the strings of the Trump presidency. And that was something that really sat wrong with Trump, who likes to take credit for all of the victories in his White House. The Time magazine cover that dubbed Bannon with his face on it, the great manipulator, was something that enraged the president back in the winter when it came out. And a new best-selling book by the Bloomberg Businessweek reporter Joshua Green called The Devil's Bargain, which credits Steve Bannon as being the brains behind the Trump victory in November, also really riled the president. And by the time Bannon was dismissed, the two really weren't speaking much. And as far as I know, the president hasn't spoken with Bannon since his dismissal, though he did send a kind of a cold tweet thanking him for his service. But it was John Kelly who dismissed Bannon, and the two aren't talking much, though. I do think that they'll resume talking, and Bannon will be an advisor to the president from the outside at some point, over the next few weeks.
Eliana Johnson is a national political reporter for Politico. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Ray.